Hello, and a warm welcome back to Braillecast, connecting the dots for Braillists everywhere. And coming up in this session, we're going to be talking to one of our World Braille Day sponsors, Sight & Sound Technology. Now, this episode was recorded following our World Braille Day conference in 2025 during the 200th anniversary of the invention of the Braille code. And it's an interview with a lot of really good content that is still relevant today. So we have decided to publish the interview in spite of it taking us a little bit of time to get it out there. However, things have moved on slightly since this interview was published. And so do tune into later episodes of this podcast where we will be updating you on how technology has evolved since this interview was recorded. But for now, as I say, a lot of really good content in here. So sit back and enjoy. Sight & Sound Technology is the leading supplier of assistive technology in the UK and Ireland, offering assessment, technology solutions, training, and lifetime support so that their customers are able to make best use of the technology. They represent some of the world's biggest names in the assistive technology sector and are master distributors for many innovative new low vision and blindness products. Their passion for Braille shines brightly, not only in their innovative product line, but also in how they engage with the blindness and low vision community. They work closely with education professionals to support and advocate for Braille as a crucial literacy tool. Their portfolio now features an exciting array of single and multi-line Braille products, and they continually seek out new and groundbreaking technology. The full list of Braille products that Sight & Sound have is quite extensive, but if we just take some highlights, we have the BrailleSense 6, BrailleSense 6 Mini, Braille eMotion from Selvers Healthcare, the Focus 14, 40 and 80 Blue from Vispero, the Orbit Slate from Orbit Research, the Hable 1 from Hable, the Mountbatten Brailler, if anybody remembers that, it's still going strong. The TactiPad from Thinkable, which is a new take on German film mats and drawing on German film. Pictures in a Flash, which is a way of getting pictures onto swell paper. Braille Embossers from View Plus. Taptilo, which is a Braille learning device, and a few products which we'll be hearing about in subsequent episodes of this podcast, including Page Connect from Page Braille and Canute 360 and Canute Console from Bristol Braille Technology. On this episode of the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Stuart Lawler, who is the head of digital content for Sight & Sound Technology. And Stuart, well, we were a bit worried about how we'd fill the time, but that really is an impressive product list, isn't it?
Matthew, I think you've mentioned everything there. I think I can go home. But yeah, there's lots of stuff there. And some of the stuff that you've mentioned has been around for quite a while. Some of it is newer. And I suppose a lot of the Braille displays and things like the Hable, for example, are devices that people always come up and have a play with at Sight Village and other similar technology shows. So we're always glad to see people.
And I think it's fair to say Sight & Sound's Braille portfolio has really exploded in recent years. There was a time when I sort of looked at Sight & Sound and thought, oh, they don't really do very much Braille stuff. And that really has changed in the past few years, hasn't it?
I think so. I mean, we're always looking. And, you know, to be fair, I think others in the sector are always looking as well at what's happening in the world of Braille. There's been lots of talk about multi-line Braille in the last couple of years, and there will continue to be, of course, as that technology gets fine-tuned and more players come into the field. But I think outside of that, a lot of what I do, I suppose, is working in the school system, both here in Ireland and in the UK. And we see that Braille is out there and people want Braille and want to merge Braille with their technology. So we've been responding to that and trying to find tools that will allow people to do that. And then also, you know, the more portable Braille solutions that maybe people just like to carry with them in their bag if they're going maybe to a work meeting or someone's on the train and wants to pull out a Braille keyboard to do something. So there's loads of different examples.
So in this interview, we really are not going to have enough time to talk about all of the products, we perhaps ought to pick out some highlights. I suppose, is it fair to say that the flagship product for you in terms of Braille would still be the HIMSS line? Certainly when I think about sight and sound and Braille, the first thing that I think of is the Braille Sense.
Yeah, it is. I think Braille Sense, Braille eMotion, as you mentioned in the intro, that entered the portfolio last year. QBraille XL, you mentioned. There's a few people who love the QBraille. QBraille did really well in the States. It wasn't met with as much excitement here. And, you know, it's interesting. Some products do well in certain markets and others don't. But yeah, to go back to answer your question, I suppose Braille Sense 6 is the device that I suppose we talk a lot about, because it's the one that probably one of the more powerful Braille devices. It's the one that is primarily used in education and a lot of the schools that we support. And some exciting things with Braille Sense 6 very recently, for example, the introduction of learning tables. And Matthew, I know as a trainer yourself, you will probably value something like this as well. How often are you asked in schools, well, you're working with a student, but they only know this set of contractions. And it, you know, in the past, it was a kind of a, well, it's either all or nothing. So now we can modify that. And one of the other big things I think that people have been asking us about is the word processor on the Braille Sense 6. And I think people will be excited to see some changes coming down the line in the word processor in the coming months. On the other side, I will mention, because people always ask about it, the web browser. The web browser on the Braille Sense 6, I think we would all say needs a bit of love and attention. And I hope it's something we might see at some point during the year.
There has been some steps towards that. I think I saw in a fairly recent release that you can now move by heading in web views and things like that. So maybe that's signaling something.
It is getting there.
So I suppose let's talk about some of those newish features. Learning tables, yeah, you're right. They're an interesting thing. I think some people really like learning tables, particularly, as you say, teachers in schools. There are some readers and some Braille users and some practitioners who would say, well, they just stifle curiosity and why should you have learning tables at all? But they are things that the market wants and they're things that other products have had for quite a long time. Do you have any insight into which learning tables? I mean, you know, if you're a child, you're probably going to be learning Braille from something like Takeoff or the Abbey books.
Fingerprint and Takeoff, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're an adult, then Fingerprint. What is actually supported?
So Fingerprint and Takeoff are all there in their various levels. And then there are various Braille learning tables or learning series, I suppose, that are used in countries like Australia and South Africa. And of course, the US. But in this part of the world, it would be Fingerprint and Takeoff. And, you know, it's an interesting point you make about maybe some people feel that learning tables stifle curiosity. I think some of the reasons that I would make in their favor is we see a lot of people who maybe bring a device home. You have youngish children who are reading with parents. And in the past, when a particular contraction has popped up and they don't know what it is and their parents aren't sure what it is. I think learning tables provide a safer way, I suppose, for people to learn, and that can be graduated then over time.
Yes, I can certainly see the argument for that. And as I say, I think it makes certainly the parents and the practitioners more confident, especially in a world where actually Braille technology is so sophisticated now that a child could know Braille without the parents needing to know Braille. And I think that's perhaps a distinction that wasn't there 15, 20 years ago. Certainly when I was at school, my parents were not that great at Braille, but they certainly knew enough to get by.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think we all have memories. I have memories of my dad brailing out my birthday card on the Perkins, you know? So I suppose it's a different way of access now, and maybe gives parents a little more support.
Whereabouts can you use them?
You can use them everywhere. So you configure them in the global options, and they are system-wide.
So that includes the menus, that includes email.
Everything. They are system-wide once you enable them.
Fantastic. And dare I ask whether they work in both directions? So if a child enters a contraction which is not part of a learning table, is that going to be recognized or is that going to throw an error?
Now, that's a great question, Matthew. There's things I didn't prepare. As far as I know, I mean, you know, the logical part of my brain, probably logical part of yours, probably tells you it should, but I can't verify that.
Was there anything else on Braille Sense in particular that you wanted to highlight? We talk about all of the new things. For me, certainly, the thing that gets me about Braille Sense is how responsive HIMS are to just changes. You know, there was a time when Gmail accounts were not working and HIMS fixed this relatively quickly. There was a time when Outlook accounts weren't working and HIMS fixed that relatively quickly as well.
Yeah, and I might just mention on that note, there has been an issue recently relating to Google where the Braille Sense 6 email app was blocked by Google. So you couldn't set up any new Gmail accounts on the device. That has been fixed. So anyone who had that issue should be able to reconfigure their Gmail account and it should work. The other thing I just want to mention with the version 2 update of the Braille Sense 6 and the version 2.5, of course, is you have Android 12. So you're upgrading from Android 10 to Android 12. And it's worth exploring that if people haven't, especially if you're interested in third-party apps, because some apps that maybe were not as accessible or maybe that had run slower in the previous version of Android may run better for you now. I will admit you will find the boot up time a little bit slower on Android 12, so just bear that in mind. And if you're doing an update from version 1.7, which was the last release of Android 10, you need to do an offline upgrade, so you need to download the installer file. And again, if anyone has any queries about that, please get in touch with us. We're always happy to help.
It's interesting you mention third-party apps. It's not something that I thought to talk about, but it is worth mentioning, isn't it? Because as well as apps running faster and apps being perhaps a little bit more accessible in Android 12, actually more apps are available. So there were some myths going around at one point, and perhaps they weren't myths at one point, about how if you wanted to use, say, the Kindle app, for example, on your Braille Sense, you had to download an APK file and sideload it. And that's just not the case on Android 12, because Android 12 is more secure and more apps support that operating system.
That's right. But to be fair, that wasn't a myth in the old days, because when Braille Sense 6 was running Android 10, the Kindle app saw the Braille Sense 6 as a device that didn't have a screen and it couldn't install. So you did have to sideload it. You don't have to anymore. And by the way, we've got a really nice solution. Again, works well in schools. It's a little tool, a free tool on Windows called SCRCPY. And that allows you to mirror the screen of the Braille Sense 6 to a computer using USB. So in situations where wireless connectivity is flaky, where you're using something like TeamViewer, maybe, for example, teachers like the idea to be able to plug a Braille Sense 6 into a laptop and mirror the output onto the laptop screen. So it's worth just knowing about that.
Is there an equivalent product for the Mac, do you know?
Not sure. I must have a look on SourceForge, because there may well be a download for the Mac as well. Of course, you can do something similar with even something as simple as Zoom, but in a lot of situations, Wi-Fi can be sporadic in maybe older buildings. So we find this, for some people, is a more reliable way of connecting.
Moving on to the other product in the HIMS, or Selvus, we should say. HIMS is a name that stuck around, even though they renamed themselves several years ago now. But moving to the Braille eMotion, which is only available in a 40-cell configuration, but is nonetheless quite an exciting product.
Yeah, the Braille eMotion, I've been trying to describe it to people in the last few months by saying that they've taken some bits of the Braille Sense 6. So, for example, you have the file manager, you have the notepad, you don't have the word processor, you don't have email, but you have the media type apps, the book readers, for example. And they've put this into, as you said, a 40-cell Braille display. We're asked a lot of questions. Will we get a 20? We've asked the question of Selvus as well. And they've sort of said, I think they're kind of gauging demand. I suspect we might, maybe not this year, but I suspect we might. But the difference, of course, with the Braille eMotion is that it is a Braille display. It's a smart Braille display, or a hybrid, I suppose, type of Braille display. So you can have your 5 Bluetooth connections, 1 USB, which is kind of standard with a lot of the Braille displays nowadays. And there are key maps for all the major screen readers. There was a big rewrite very recently for the JAWS key map. So again, if anybody wants further information about that, please do get in touch with us.
Yeah, and I've heard on the grapevine as well that the JAWS driver is still very much a work in progress. I've heard comments out of the US that said they might even be supporting the QWERTY emulation fairly soon. So that's something to watch for.
Yeah, I think there's lots of testing going on behind the scenes. The key map, I know, has changed a few times, even between the last build of JAWS 24 and the first build of 25. They made some changes, so it's always worth checking on the version of JAWS you have.
So this is, first and foremost, a Braille display. It has features in it, as you say, that make it work as a standalone note-taking device in fairly limited circumstances, perhaps less limited than some. But it is a Braille display. It supports USB and Bluetooth. One of the features that really intrigues me that I feel like doesn't get enough airtime, so I'd like to give it some, is the idea that if you're connecting over Bluetooth, you can also connect the audio over Bluetooth as well as the Braille over Bluetooth.
I know this is mentioned every so often, and it's probably something that's not talked about enough, but yeah, it can be very useful in situations where maybe you want the audio to come from the device itself, or maybe you're wearing a pair of headphones plugged into your Braille Motion and you're connected to another Bluetooth device that you're controlling and you want all the audio to come through one source. So it's definitely for people like that in that type of situation, or maybe you don't have your computer's at the other side of the room and you want to sit on your sofa, then you have all those options.
My thought would be something along the lines of, I've left my iPhone upstairs, I'm downstairs reading a book on Apple Books or whatever, and the phone goes, and I'm sat there with my Braille display. I can answer the call on the Braille display, but on any other Braille display, I'd have to answer the call, then I'd have to run upstairs to grab the phone in order to talk to the person. Whereas it strikes me, if you can connect audio over Bluetooth, you should be able to talk to them straight from the Emotion.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. And I know the Sense Player has a kind of similar feature. I'm not sure how good the audio transmission is when you're speaking back. It's not something I have tested. It may well work. And it's also worth saying that if your phone happened to lock, for example, if the screen locked, your phone is upstairs, you can't unlock the phone from the Braille display.
Sure. Okay. So this probably has to do with the communication protocol.
It's not using the HID Bluetooth protocol, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. This, though, does have some advantages. Namely, I presume it does support Android.
Yes, it does.
In terms of the things that you can do that look a bit like Braille Sense things, I forget whether the word processors come across, but presumably it can open things like Word documents and text files and PDFs and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, so the word processor isn't there itself, but the Notepad application is. And the applications that have come across from Braille Sense have been literally put across. So word processor, the media player, the Bookshare download app, they've all come from the Braille Sense. The file manager, more or less, but obviously it doesn't have the ability to connect to cloud storage. So you can plug external devices into the device and use the file manager to copy files to and from them, but you can't connect to cloud storage.
One of the things that people ask me, and I wonder if you could give any comment on it, you open a Word document or something on a device like a Braille Sense 6 or a Braille Emotion, or indeed you're reading it with a screen reader. UEB has these wonderful bold italics and underlines and things like these signs. There aren't many products out there that can actually interpret those correctly. So a Braille display might show bold, but it might not show it with the UEB sign. It might show it with a marking underneath. Is Selvis aware of this?
They are aware of it, and it's not only us who is saying it to them. I know the Australian Braille community have been very active as well in advocating for this. And you're right about the symbols. They're not UEB traditional marking symbols. We have been informed that the word processor is getting a bit of an update. There'll be some very interesting functions coming down the line in the word processor. One that I can mention is the ability to read tables, which is something that we've been long asking for. And I know a lot of people have been long asking for. And my understanding is that proper UEB Braille marking will also be a part of the new word processor. I used to always tell people, and I suppose I still do, with regard to the Braille Sense, that you should treat the word processor as something that you would use to write and to do your rough work. I wouldn't be publishing my final year thesis with the word processor. I would always be taking that document and bringing it into Word or whatever other application I use on my Windows or Mac computer to do my final tweaks and edits. But I think with this update, when we see it in a little while, it's going to bring the word processor onto a whole new level on the Braille sense.
There's a lot of other Braille products, as we said right at the start of the interview, which we've already sort of talked about. We did quite an extensive Braillecast episode about the Haybel, and we'll perhaps get Haybel back at some point to do another podcast with their sort of updates. There's various other interviews that we'll be doing as part of this series. Is there anything else before we move to questions from the audience that you really wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I was just going to say two things. Just when you mentioned Haybel, I do have to say that the new Haybel update, which is currently in beta, but anyone who has the Haybel app on their device, if you would like to, and I do stress it is a beta, just released the end of last week, Haybel will now support multi-connection. So you can connect more than one device to your Haybel without having to unpair each time. So if people want to read about it, there's a bit of a guide that Haybel have published, which they shared far and wide last week. But if anyone's interested, it will be worth giving it a play. And you can get that from the Haybel app. And the other thing, Matthew, I just want to give a quick shout out to a product that we've just started looking at, come onto our portfolio. It's something called the Braille Doodle from an organization called the Touchpad Pro Foundation in the US. And there's no technology in it, really. It's a device that has ball bearings. And you use this little stylus that has a magnet at the bottom, and you can create your Braille dots. On the other side, it has a blank canvas where you can draw. People describe it as a Braille Etch-a-Sketch. So you can draw graphs, and you can use it to draw shapes for teachers and for people who are learning Braille. It's a very fun way to do it, and no technology there at all.
Yeah, and it really is a new product, isn't it? We interviewed Touchpad Pro on the podcast, gosh, it must have been a year or two ago. And even as recent as last week, I was still getting updates to say, we are shipping them, they are coming. So this really is extremely hot off the press, and it's really good news that it's got a home in the UK.
Yeah, and it's definitely a nice device. So I'd be curious when people start getting their hands on that. And the next couple of months, we'll be traveling around showing it to people. So if we're in your part of the country, do please come and say hello. And I will also say, you mentioned Orbit at the start, the whole range of Orbit devices that we've been, again, adding to our portfolio. The ones we've been focusing on most, and I'll just give a quick mention for them, is the Slate devices. So there's two versions of the Orbit Slate. There's a three-line version that has 40 cells per line and a five-line version that has 20 cells per line. And these are ideal for book reading, I suppose. If you have Braille files, or well, not just Braille files, because they have built-in translation as well. But if you're going on a journey, for example, stick this thing in your bag and take it out and read. And we'll be showing that again in the next few months at the various shows, etc., that we'll be at. They're interesting devices, so we're looking forward to getting people's reaction to those. One of the other things I will say, and I know that you and I, and I think others have had these conversations over the last little while, is it's going to be interesting to watch the screen reading world, which has, I guess, traditionally up to now supported single line Braille displays, now support multi-line Braille. Because I guess at the moment, screen readers tend to feed one line of Braille even to a multi-line Braille device. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes in the next little while.
Yes, it definitely will. I'm glad you brought up Orbit, because I'm expecting quite a few questions about Orbit. Orbit feels a bit like a product that you've inherited, because of course RNIB sold Orbit products for a long time. So I really sort of have two questions. The first one around if you want to buy an Orbit product new, and the second one, if you're already an Orbit product owner, what that looks like. Perhaps if we start with the second of those. So you've bought an Orbit from RNIB and it's now not working. Do you offer any sort of repair service in that case?
Okay, so I should be clear at the moment and say we do not have any jurisdiction over the Orbit reader devices. So the original Orbit readers 20 or 40, we're not selling those. We don't have a relationship with those devices. So we have the Orbit Speak and the Orbit Slate devices.
Okay, I think that's quite important then, because I think that's possibly a bit of a misunderstanding in the community, including in myself, actually. I was under the impression that you sold all of them. So then there aren't really any questions about warranty or things like that, because these are all brand new products. What's the situation with stock of those products? Because again, there's various schools of thought, but there is a feeling at the moment that actually stock of Orbit products is quite limited.
So at the moment, we can get stock of the Slate devices quite quickly, whilst we can sell the Orbit Speak as well. We haven't taken any of those into Sight and Sound yet. I know some of our colleagues, Graham Longley and Steve Nutt, are selling the Orbit Speak as well. So we're kind of working with those guys on that product as well.
Sure, absolutely. So I think the theme really is, if you want to buy an Orbit product, perhaps give you a call first, see what the state of play is, and then make a purchase on that basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Get in touch. And I would definitely suggest, in the case of the Slate devices, you want to see them. I will be very open and say some people do not like the distance between the lines on the Slate, feel it is too great. Others are fine with that. So it is a personal thing. You need to experience it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think an Orbit Slate, it's a nice product. I actually quite like the Orbit Slate, but it's the same thickness as the Orbit Reader. It's the same sort of plastic enclosure as the Orbit Reader. It's the same cell technology as the Orbit Reader. So if you don't like the cell technology in the Orbit Reader, you're probably not going to like the cell technology in the Orbit Slate either.
And I will just I'll mention one more thing, just because we have a little bit of time. There's a product called Inside One from a French manufacturer called Inside Vision. And Inside One, some of you who were at Sight Village London may have seen this on our stand. It's a Braille tablet. There are two versions. One is a Braille tablet with little grooves cut into the touchscreen where you place your fingers. So the grooves are the Braille keys. So it's like using Braille screen input to some degree. You're typing on the touchscreen. And the other version is the Inside Supra. So it's the very same tablet device, but it has a Braille keyboard, a tactile Braille keyboard. They have a 40-cell Braille display running Windows 11, and you can run JAWS or NVDA. We've been kind of playing with these, not really sure if they will sit in the market or where they will sit. But again, people may be interested just to have a look at them.
Yes, and these are quite interesting products because the specifications of the products are quite good. I think there's been a thing in the past about Braille tablets and Braille Windows-based things where people say, well, sure, but they're underspecified. These don't seem to be.
No, they're i7s. I can't just off the top of my head remember the spec of the memory, but they are good tablets. The way in which Braille commands are issued is very different because, of course, they're not using JAWS Braille in, because they're not using focus displays. They've got their own keyboards. My thing with all these for trainers is that you kind of need to learn them all. And if you're learning the HIMSS key map, and if you're learning the Vespero key maps for their display, and now you're learning the Inside One key maps, it's an awful lot of information to keep in your head. So we'll see. It's another device to watch over the next year or so and see where it goes.
And I should probably just say it has full support for JAWS and NVDA and all the screen readers.
It has full support. They certainly, I think Inside Vision would say themselves, they are much more experienced building it with NVDA. So they certainly lean a little bit more towards NVDA, but it does support JAWS.
We have a question from Kawal Gukukoglu. Kawal, hello.
Hello. Now, what it is, I don't understand when you talk about the Slate. I just don't know what you mean, because is it like a frame, you know, like a stylus with a frame? Is it for, what is it for?
Sorry, Kawal. It's a Braille display. So if you think of a couple of Braille displays connected together, essentially. So it's a Braille display that comes in either 3-line version or 5-line. So you can load content onto this and read it.
We have a question from Beth from New Mexico. Hello, Beth.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, okay, that Braille Sense, it is a Braille display, I realize that. And you said they were going to update it to UEB.
Hi, Beth. So the Braille Sense already supports UEB?
It would be nice if, since it already supports UEB, if they would just Like some of these displays, if I invented them, I would put, say, a setting where you could put them on UEB or American Standard Braille, because I don't care for UEB that much.
Well, you'll be glad to know that you can. So you can switch the setting to Standard English Braille if you prefer. It does come set to UEB by default, and I think that's because UEB is now the standard in the English-speaking world, but you can switch it back easily if you would prefer to do that.
Okay, and the Orbit slates, can you switch those as well?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You can switch them. Actually, sure, if you can switch the Braille code, you can definitely change the language. But if you have a Braille file that is written in Standard English Braille, then you could load that onto the Orbit slate and you would get Standard English Braille. I'm not actually sure if it supports the Standard English Braille code.
Thank you, Beth, for your question. So we have a question from Norman Ogden. Hello, Norman.
Hello. The Orbit slate, how much are they?
So the Orbit slate 520, that's the five-line display with 20 cells per line, is £3,127. And the Orbit slate 340, that's the three-line display with 40 cells per line, is £3,550.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
And Stuart, if people want pricing for other products, presumably they can look on the Sight and Sound website for those.
Yes, they're all on our online shop.
In both pounds and euros.
Indeed.
Well, Stuart, this has been a fascinating interview. Thank you very much for your time today. Perhaps we could just wrap up by giving your contact details and how people can get in touch if they need any further support or want to ask any further questions.
Yeah, absolutely, Matthew. And thank you, as always, for the opportunity. It's great to collaborate with the Braillists. And actually, just before I say that, I was just thinking it was about 2 years ago when we collaborated with the Braillists to run our own World Braille Day conference, which was an online event at the time. So who knows, we might do something in the future again. But yeah, you can visit us on the web at sightandsound.co.uk. You can email info or sales, either one will get to us, at sightandsound.co.uk. Or you can call us in Northampton on 01604 798070. And we produce a lot of digital content across our podcast and YouTube channels and our webinar Wednesday, monthly webinar on the first Wednesday of every month still takes place. So we'd love people to join us. Please get in touch if there's anything we can help with.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Braillecast, the official podcast of the Braillists Foundation. You can find more Braille-related content by subscribing to Braillecast, all one word, in your podcast client of choice, or listening to Braillecast, connecting the dots for Braillists everywhere on your smart speaker. You can also find past episodes on our website at braillecast.com. If you have comments on the podcast or suggestions of topics or guests for future episodes, please email help@braillists.org. You can also find the Braillists on X, formerly Twitter, at Braillists, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Braillists Foundation. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to Braillecast, please consider making a donation to the Braillists Foundation at braillists.org/donate. Finally, if you know other people who are interested in Braille, please tell them where to find us. Until next time, on behalf of everyone on the Braillecast team, thanks for listening, and bye for now.